Thank you, Mr. Corvin. Slovenia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On behalf of Slovenian delegation, I would like to share some thoughts on the proposed salary and promotion system. We see the new system as a step into the right direction. The document, as its underlying principle, recognizes the value of EPO's greatest resource, which is talented, loyal, and efficient staff. Document is at the same time also attuned to the needs of the business. Having said that, in our point of view, the proposed document still needs careful consideration on few of its elements. Namely, high-impact HR organizations focus on continuous improvements, not radical HR transformations. EPO is, in our opinion, too radical and too quick in methods of HR. Many organizations that embark on full-throttle, one-shot HR transformations quickly come to regret it. The new promotion system should not only address the value of high-performing talent, but should also create an environment in which talent can thrive. We don't see that the proposed document has achieved that, and as such, Slovenia does not see the proposed document of being ready for a decision procedure in AC in December. We see three elements that need careful consideration and additional assurances by EPO management. Firstly, a change of promotion system needs buy-in from employees, otherwise it won't yield desired result. Hence, our recommendation is that the management of EPO and staff representatives try their best and find suitable compromise on the topic, and only then the new rules could be put on the AC agenda. Both sides need to act rationally, bearing in mind general interest of EPO and its member states. Slovenia will not support unilateral document prepared by EPO management without being assured that staff representatives have been involved properly in the process. Secondly, HR professional experts will confirm that radical HR transformations usually result in disappointment, because changing HR trends requires a substantial amount of effort and time. When change is undertaken all at once, the result is that HR professionals being consumed with system upgrades, new rules, and process reform. Although these are often fundamental to long-term business alignment and better business support, they can negatively impact the businesses when they become an HR function's primary focus. Hence, transitional period is of the essence when the promotion and rewarding system is to be changed. The proposed document provides for no transitional period, which may, in the existing climate of hostility, provide to a big mistake that will provide for no improvements in the system at the cost of the efficiency and effectiveness of the European patent system. We are not assured at this point of time that the management of EPO and its HR part in particular will successfully deliver the result if no realistic transitional period is provided for in the document. Thirdly, document should take into account that the EPO is not a corporation listed on the stock exchange whose sole purpose is overall turnover and profits for its stakeholders. Our doubt arises whether the full motivation reward model is really appropriate for the method and the type of work carried out by the EPO and its staff structure. The proposed system does not distinguish between examiners and support staff. The proposed system will force employees to competition, which would increase the efficiency. Since the assessment of employees' work is in the hands of managers, in practice this leads to conflicts, because the assessments are always subjective, and the direct managers, who have never done such assessment or goal settings and lack the experiences, can be motivated by reasons that are not directly related to the efficiency and quality of work. The system allows, in principle, rapid promotion of more capable individuals. However, at the same time, it allows larger deviations that they are possible in the current system, which allows a gradual progression. Hence, going forward, we would like to see a SWOT analysis which indicates consequences of the change of the model vis-à-vis old or current system. Such analysis will assure us that all negatives have been considered and will be properly addressed. And lastly, an insurance that HR function with EPO can execute the change and has all the required competencies. Solid execution of HR services is essential to demonstrating competence and building credibility of EPO with member states and industry. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. President, I shall always remember this debate as the debate of the 100 questions. There are too many questions, I understand, to be answered. Therefore, the office has the floor.
Well, we will try to answer all the questions, if you give us the time. Well, first I would like to thank all delegations who have taken the floor. They have all either expressed a positive support or a general support and ask some questions in order to transform the abstention into a positive vote. We will try to... So I think this is important, which shows that there is no one who is proposing a different proposal or different reform based on different principles. I think this is the main political message from your committee. As a general comment, I fully agree with our colleague Herr Rödler from Austria. I would also myself have preferred that my predecessors have proposed this reform. It would have been much easier for me and much more useful for the organization. But better later than never. So I think it's time now to do it. And I also agree with you, Mr. Rödler, that this reforms is not a hard one. It is a balanced one. And in this way, I answer to some delegations which seems to fear difficulties in the implementation or in the transition period. This is a balanced reform where we preserve the situation of the people, and that allow me to answer directly to our colleague from Ireland. In legal terms, there is no required right to automatic promotion. It is not an acquired right. You have an acquired right to expectations of promotions, but you have no acquired right to automatic promotion. So that we are absolutely confident on and sure on this legal analysis. So also the question of Mr. Rödler trying to quantify, and that has been asked also by many other delegations. As I said, it is extremely difficult to quantify on long term because it depends on behavior. To prepare this reform, we have had the help of Deloitte, the famous consultant company. And they have estimated that if, and the if is important, the behavior of the staff is the same as now. So if it doesn't incent to better performance. We could have a difference of the global cost of the mass salary reduced by 5% in 2020, by 8% in 2025, and by something around 13% by 2035. This reduction of the cost of the global mass salary is roughly the same level concerning the cost of pensions, because of the rule that the pension is calculated on the level of the last salary. I agree also with Mr. Rodler that this is an issue that we should tackle when we will discuss the pension reform. This is an issue which is not for the career reform. So we have concentrated ourselves on the career reform. But it is true that at some time the Council will have to consider, should we continue with the pension based on the last salary, or should we calculate it differently? So you see, this is a way to quantify. There is another way to quantify. SWEPO has circulated leaflets indicating that each examiner will lose, because of this reform, 500,000 euros on the whole professional time. And they have indicated that it is the cost of one house. So that this calculation is based on the fact only of low performer. So it's based on the fact that those people will not try to perform and so will not benefit from promotions. I give you this figure for what it is worth. It just indicates that the consequences are important, are significant. Even if it is extremely difficult to quantify them precisely, we are talking about hundreds of millions for the office. There were also many questions about how are we going to implement this reform, are the managers able to fulfill their tasks, and so on. Before answering that, I would like to say to our Slovenian colleague that I cannot accept your intervention. Your intervention, you put some suspicion on the competence, the integrity of the management of the office. This is clearly unacceptable. And secondly, I would like to tell the Slovenian delegation that your delegation voted in favor of the principle of this reform in June. Of course, like everybody, you have the right to change your mind. But you should not forget that you voted in favor of the principles of this reform. And the last comment for the Slovenian delegation is that I will never accept that the reforms which are necessary for this office depend on the veto of a trade union. Because by indicating that you will only get accept to consider a document which has been prepared by the trade union, you give them a veto right, which is totally contrary to our convention. For the rest of the comments, how are we going to implement? First, we have made the choice of a very short and in fact no transition period. This will apply directly next year, based on the performance of this year. We need a few months, technically speaking, to pass, to transfer people from one salary grid to another one. That will be done during the first semester in 2015. But as the promotions are decided at the end of the year, It has no consequence for no concrete consequence. Secondly, somebody has said, well, reform should take time and not to be too immediate. I'm sorry, when you apply a carrier system, either you apply one or you apply another one. You cannot apply both systems at the same time. So what would have been the alternative? We continue to apply to the current employees the old system with all its blockage, and we apply only the new system to the newcomer? Where have you seen that? When a state decides different rates or increase the rates of taxes, does it imply that only for newcomers and not for the current ones? This is just shows a complete misunderstanding about the way an office is managed. Then the envelope will be defined. And the envelope will be defined on a proposal made by the President, by the AC, in the budget. So, as it has been underlined by many delegations, this guarantees a total financial control of this reform. The Council will be free any year, each year, to decide what amount is allocated for promotion. And in my view, it should be based on the performance of the office. For the moment, what we are proposing for this year, and you have approved, in majority of you have approved last time, is the same percentage of the mass salary that we have spent in the previous years. But that decision could be different next year, in more or in less. It will be up to the Council based on the proposal by the President. Then this envelope will be distributed among the different units of the office, up to the level of the line managers. Of course, the line managers will receive guidelines, will receive orientations. For instance, this is an example, these guidelines can change every year. This year, we should have not more than 50% of rewards under the form of step advancement. We should not have more than X percent in the form of bonuses. And I am like, I think it was Roland who said that, I don't think bonus is the right term, I don't know the right term in English. In French we are talking about prime, which corresponds much more to the what we want. Why have we proposed to distribute part of the promotion on prime? For two main reasons. First, those primes, as it was indicated, are just given for 1 year. So they don't increase for the following years the cost and the salary mass. And then it can correspond to specific activities which has been done during this year and which will not be repeated for the following year. It can be more activities done supplementary to the normal job. It can be an active participation into a transversal project. It can be many things. If you reward this, if you don't reward this, I think this is unfair. If you reward that kind of activity by a step advancement, you just increase your global cost. And at the end, you don't control it. So, the managers will have to follow those guidelines, those orientations. Of course, they need to be trained for that. And of course, we have started to train them. Here we have the necessary budget. I remind you that the training budget at the EPO is 13 million euros. And this year, for instance, in 2014, we will not spend more than 8 million euros. So we have the budgetary resources without increasing the training budget in order to train our managers to do that. This is one, I think, of the main challenge for the success of this reform. I repeat, because it's important for you to keep that in mind. Most of our managers have not been chosen for their managerial capacities. They have been chosen because they were alleged experts in their fields. We have to transform those managers into real managers. And this is what I have been doing since I am president. I am giving the managers the responsibility, but also the tools and the capacities to fulfill their managerial task. That's why we have considered with your approval that the part-time working scheme is a managerial decision. That's why also we give them a lot of more responsibilities in terms of well-being of the staff and so on. But of course we need also to harmonize in order not to create inequalities. So that's why there will be harmonization at DG level and among the DG. How those objectives, how those performances is going to be measured? This reform, maybe we have not underlined that enough in our presentation, is parallel to another major reform, which is a change in our performance management. Now, and this is especially the case for the examiners, the 4,200 examiners, they have concrete objectives which are fixed individually for each year. And these objectives are not only in production but also in quality. So the dialogue, and I agree with Roland, because this career system is also to foster real dialogue because the manager and the people working with the manager will be based in most cases and in all the cases where it is possible on quantified objectives. So the discussion will be extremely transparent and clear. And that's why we have also in this performance management system, imagine a two-level system with a counter-signing officer for the report and then this appraisal committee in order to be sure that there will be no cases where staff will be victim of discrimination or arbitrary decisions. By having this check, this control at two levels, we think we will, as much as it is possible in human life, avoid, not allowed to have arbitrary decisions or discriminatory decisions taken on the performance management report and on the consequences which are the promotions. Somebody asked why haven't we created a paritary committee for this appraisal committee. The answer is extremely simple. I consider that promotion is a managerial decision. It is not an issue for social dialogue. Individual cases are another responsibility of the management. And one of the reasons why the previous system or the current system has deviated is because it was managed between the trade union and the HR department, with no involvement at all of the managers. The managers were informed after the promotion board who in their team will have some promotions. This is a model which used to take place in some part of Europe some years ago. It is not my model. In a normal management, it is the management who is responsible for promotions. The staff of Balanzer will be involved in yearly discussion for the level of the envelope which will be dedicated to the promotion. And of course, we agree to have a review each year of how it has been implemented. And we have statutory bodies for that. It is called the General Consultative Committee, which has a paritary composition. There were other questions about how to motivate the old ones, how to motivate the new ones, the attractiveness of the EPO for recruitment and so on. The issue here is extremely simple. In the current system, a large majority of examiners, to take this example, but it is could be true also for other positions in the office, reach a ceiling in their grade at the age of 45 or 50. They still have 20 to 15 years to work at the office. Except an exceptional professional conscience and personal motivation, nothing incites them to work harder or to work less. So we are creating, by a longer period to reach that level, by decisions taken only on performance, by opening this technical career at the level of the manager one, and by the prime, the bonuses, incentives up to the very last day of the professional life. And I think here you must understand, I must underline something. In our current system, somebody was worked hard and somebody was worked less hard. At the end, receives the same salary, more or less, and the same pension. I think this is profoundly unfair and profoundly demotivating. So I have no preoccupation concerning the motivations of the staff with this new system. Concerning the newcomers, the young people starting their career, it is obvious that a career which is based on performance and not on seniority is much more motivating than the career which is based on seniority, where you have to wait 20 years in order, whatever you do, more or less, in order to exceed to progress. Concerning our activity for what you call this generation Y, the only thing I can say is that EPO is very attractive. We are receiving, as you know, we are recruiting, and we are receiving, 10 times more candidacies than the number of people we need. And our attractiveness is not only linked to our career system, it is linked to many other things, including the global social package, but also the motivation to work as the Open Patent Office and the interest of the work itself. Other delegations asked me how many people will receive promotions each year. That will be decided each year. What happens is everybody obtain excellent performance, then we will take the best of them. But it will have shown that everybody has contributed and we have capacities to reward all of them. So, once again, here, we are not creating quotas, we are not creating limits linked to financial or budgetary elements. We are incenting people to be more efficient, to have better performance. And in this performance, we totally improve the quality of the work. So all the arguments saying that we are trying to push a number of patents granted without... No. Quality is integrated in individual objectives. One question was about, is it possible to accumulate bonus and step advancements? I would say that in exceptional cases, yes. It is open. It should not be the case. Normally, it would not be the case. But in exceptional cases, why not? The limits are global. The limits are not individuals. I think, Mr. Chairman, I have more or less... Ah, there was also this remark from the Norwegian delegation concerning the word race in Article 52. We have not changed this article. It was already in the current drafting, but we are open to a better drafting, a better expression, if you see it is more appropriate. Mr. Chairman, I think I have tried at least to answer to most of the questions which have been asked. We will, of course, we continue to be at the disposal of the delegations between now and the AC meeting, in order to try to answer to your preoccupations or to provide you the information you need. We are conscious that this is a very comprehensive reform. It's technically complex. So of course there are many elements which need to be explained. I would like just to end or conclude my remarks by the following. I understand delegations who indicate that they will abstain because they need more information and so on. But I would like them to consider what is the alternative. We are not here trying to build a reform which is compatible with each of your nation, each of your state law. We are trying to build something which is useful for the office, for the organization. So if in some cases it's not compatible with the German law, or the UK law, or the French law, this is not the issue. The issue is it useful for the organization? Is it necessary now? And if we don't take this decision, what will happen? I think this is on those criteria you should make your vote, which we hope as largely as possible positive. Thank you very much.